434-1790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862. Email says, you've mentioned cases not being called for eons. This is where the battle cry, put me in court, comes from. People know that the system does not work and are comfortable in mischief making. Another young gentleman who I didn't know was eligible for pension says, mine arrived in the mail this morning, although I'm too young for a pension. Person says, with, I'm sure, their tongue firmly in their cheek. It's good knowing that you still follow the program, young man. Perhaps you should get back on it. You know, in your pensionable years, you may want to keep engaged. You should call David. Another one says, when will Mr. Colin Jordan announcement that the minimum wage is to go to $8 an hour come into effect? I've been working for $6.63 an hour for the past 7 years. When is the minimum wage mandatory across the board for everybody, or is it just there, you know, this is what you should pay and people pay whatever they feel like? It's a comment I wanted to make. I'll hold it for perhaps after the news. If I have to stimulate people to call me after the news, I may reach for it. Brastax, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm calling in connection with the National Insurance Pension Payment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for the gentleman who didn't get his. Perhaps he, I don't know if he gets it and by check via the mail, but I'm a customer of Scotiabank, and I had my pension deposited at my account since Friday.
Well, I know one of the gentlemen said the credit union, so I don't know if it goes from one bank to another. And then to the, I don't know how it goes to the credit union. Let me put it that way.
Okay, but this is Scotiabank. Mm-hmm. It goes, my own goes straight from NIS
to
the Scotiabank.
You signed
account.
Up with them to have it deposited to your
yes.
account?
Okay. When, yes. Okay. When I apply for it, you, mm-hmm. you fill up, you send them banking information,
mm-hmm.
including the not only your account, but the there's a code number mm-hmm. for the particular branch.
Correct.
And I never have any problems when there are problems with NIS generating checks. Mm-hmm. I get mine, so I would like to encourage those people who have a bank account that they probably can use that, because when they have difficulty with making the checks out, your money is already there.
You see, there's a plus to that and there's a minus to that.
Okay.
And the minus, I'll tell you, is this.
Uh-huh.
Depending on the bank you're at
mm-hmm.
And what charges they have
oh.
or there are, some people prefer to get the check in their hand.
For the check. Yeah.
Yeah. But the problem again with that, and you know, these days any transaction has both, as I would say, pros and cons. Both, and you got to measure it and decide which you want.
Mm-hmm.
The downside is that some places don't take checks anymore.
Yeah.
And there are other people who have issues with having sums of cash on them for whatever reason.
Okay.
And the third part of the equation is something you've grown accustomed to. And some of our pensioners have grown
yeah.
accustomed to
yeah.
every X, the postman yeah. comes
yeah.
and brings the checks, and they arrange, as the guy said, for a taxi to pick him up at prior to 12 o'clock, so he could
yeah.
get to the bank, and or he could get to wherever he goes, post office, change the check, go and do their shopping, get back
yeah.
home by 2, fix lunch. So you fall into a routine, and it is the way you organize your life, and sometimes it's difficult to just up and change it.
Yeah,
so
I know.
There are various challenges, but the point that I was trying to make when we went to the news break is that if there is an issue with some of them, at least let the people who are expecting their checks to be delivered
agreed.
Yeah. That they're told, you know, don't do it, don't call out the cab, don't put on your clothes, don't ask the person who's coming to assist you to come to help you. Because
yeah.
some of these people need assistance.
It's true. It's
and
true.
It disrupts the pattern of their lives, and that is difficult for them.
Yeah, but I'm calling specifically, though, because INS was getting some criticism because of that, which I understand, too. But the support of them, they forwarded the checks to the banks. I can't speak for other banks, but in Nova Scotia, for sure,
you got it.
You usually get it on time,
Friday.
Yeah, and I got mine since Friday, as I said.
Good.
Yep.
It works for you, and thanks for sharing that with us to put balance to it. I thank you very much. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis. How are you?
I'm fine. So, and you?
Well, they stay here hanging on.
That's all you got to do.
No, the next thing you can do, they can let go, but I don't intend to let go.
Sometimes your hands slip. You know that you wanted to let go.
Well, you can't even win a little argument sometimes, though.
But you win it. Take it. I done.
It tight. I have a concern. And I know that both political parties are guilty, so I'm not casting blame on this government as such. The people from Beautiful Barbados, can you imagine having worked, a lot of them, for 14 years at an establishment? Well, your services were terminated, and the only financial results you got was $5,000. Now, this debushing program that's going on right now, if I had anything to do with it, I would have at least approached those former workers and get them on board first. I think that's the least that can have been done. Right? And I don't think it's too late. I still feel it can be done. This thing is more serious for those workers than a lot of people know. And as I said before, I think somebody from that group have to come and speak out and let the people know the injustices that have been done to them. Since the closing of the, for want of a better word, the company, 40 workers have passed. Another one, she is going through some very serious health problems. All of these things because of stress related. Well, Dennis.
So the pension, the people at Beautify Barbados have made recommendations. They've come on the radio. I've heard some of them over a period of time. They've talked about they're expecting one thing and not getting the other. Here's the challenge that I see. I believe that there are entities in Barbados, whether it is government-owned, private sector-owned, who are trying to balance this unemployment situation with their financial resources and with this demand that we beautify various areas in Barbados and try to keep our surroundings clean. So, if people on one side sending messages via whatever means, calling the radio station and saying, you got boys on the block, they're doing nothing, young people want employment, so they don't turn to crime, find something for them to do. So you go out and you give them weed whackers and you give them crash programs, block incentives, ask them to clean up the area. Then another set says, you know, we lost our work. We get retrenched. We were treated unfairly. You should give us a pick two. So they have to decide who do we give the pick to. The young fellas we're trying to get off the block, the young people who are underemployed, or the people who say they were being unfeared. Some may say, but they get their chance already, they get a little piece, they should be content, somebody else getting a little piece now. We're sharing the pie. Those are the types of comments you get. Those are the types of arguments that are presented. And those who have to make the decisions, whether private sector or public sector, have to walk the fine line of deciding how they're going to do it.
I understand that, Dennis.
And that's the challenge, I think, that's being faced by some of the decision makers. I'm not saying they're making the right or the wrong decision, but I think that's some of the challenges that they face trying to come up with an answer to the problem.
There's another problem. There's another spin to it, too, as related to the fellas on the block. Now, you can't be seeking employment and every day you're there sitting down. You'll be out on the boat. I'm not saying that none of them don't try. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to get that impression either. Like when you wanted to be at Starcom, you didn't stop home and tell Starcom, call you or whatever. You got up and you went seeking. right?
And you get told no regularly, though. I get turned down 3 times by CBC.
And you come and you kept at it.
Right? I've only been silly. That's me trying to stop you winning the argument again, right?
You see, another thing, Dennis, that most people don't know about 2 weeks before these people were laid off, they were offered loans, which most of them accepted, not knowing that they would have gotten those letters of termination. And as we are working now, you can't pay utilities, you can't pay the loan. It's so stressful. My heart goes out to these people. It's sad. And as I always tell people who even thinking about criticizing me, let me tell you this. And this has become a trademark of mine. None of us are immune to the problems that are being experienced by others. The difference arises when we are going through it. Debbie wants someone to sympathize with us. So therefore, if you can assist anyone in any way, try to do it. I had an experience one day, morning, I left a good friend of my house intending to go down. He was living in Rendezvous. It's actually 12:30, right fast. He said, I'm going to give a lift now. So my salary, I'm going to walk down to the Worthing bus stop. Dennis, the smell, it was a new day. At 12 o'clock in the afternoon, his father called me and told me my father just collapsed that day. After this dear Dennis, I can't even go to the funeral. And he was like a brother. That's just to show how things just happen. So all of us who think that we are up and mighty, we are nothing. Help whoever you can.
Okay, sir.
Don't look at the messenger in this case. Listen to the message. I just try my best, Dennis. I can't do it all.
So I suppose my answer to your pleas. The world is an unfair place, and the most you could do is to hope that there is a tolerable level, a level which you will not sink beneath, or you will not drag yourself down to that. Unfortunately, sir, and this is the unfortunate, I was going to make the comment, I said I was going to save it for the news break, but there ain't no other callers in line, so I'm going to throw it out and see who I annoy. I sat yesterday and listened to, as the producer to the program, and I listened to some of the comments Corey read from the WhatsApp messages, and I had to edit out a few of them because some of the things he was reading would open people to some wrong interpretations, or interpretations that could run the station into trouble. There are certain areas of business in Barbados that is crowded or overcrowded with untruths. I don't know anybody in Barbados, maybe they are, and I don't know them, who questions a doctor about his bill and tries to negotiate a price. So if he tell you an MRI is $3,000, I don't know anybody has told him, I can't give you $15. Why is $3,000? I can't give you $1,200 instead? I don't know anybody who do it with a lawyer either. Or they call and say lawyers, jokodai. But whenever it comes to artisans and architects and people providing services to fix your pipe and fix your car, they're ready to negotiate. So it must cost $200, you can't get $150. A man down the road tell me you can do it for $100. Why? Why do we do that to architects, artisans, tradesmen, and we don't do it to the doctor? You know? You need an operation, it costs $5,000. You can't do it for $3. I don't know anybody that do that. So it means there's a level of respect that we give to certain people for their services that we don't give to others. So somebody weeding by the side of the road, well, if we pass and see them chilling out or sitting on a stool talking or drinking a deputy and sweet-talking somebody that's passing by, them can't be working. So what are we paying them for? They ain't doing nothing. So the man who really working, when he say, boss man, I hear weeding the side of the road for $5. You can't give me 10? I ain't doing nothing. Well, stop the drinking deputy and old talking and sitting at women and cussing and listening to dub music. You see, we put these things out there and we react to it and people get tainted with the brush. So when you talk about the poor people having a problem with this, or we need to empathize with that, there are people who ask you, why? Because I see them, I working hard, I going to work every day, I barely surviving, and them doing nothing, and you want me to give them money. These things, they cloud our judgment, and they affect the way we view people. It is unfortunate, but it's the truth. And we don't like to tell the truth about certain things. So when somebody says, I went to Tongue Planning and I asked them to give me a name that could draw the plans for my house, automatically people think they can get a name for somebody who's their friend, so you can get through with you thing quick, right? That's why you're asking. That's what they will think. That's what they will say behind your back. That's the reason why you asked. Not because you wanted somebody reputable, but that's why you asked. And when they say, oh, they tell me Dennis Johnson, but I went to him and he take my money, I can't find him, but he's driving up another big truck written Dennis Johnson Freighting. So he only carrying, you know, garbage up and down and playing he's a contractor. They say that too. I can't let that go out on here because somebody will call me and sue me. So I cut it. But that's the kind of comments that people make. And that's the reaction you get when people make that kind of comment. So there are lots of things that happen and you say it's unfair. But when you delve into the background, it's because we approached it in a manner that made it less than fair for somebody else to carry the blame for what we're doing. And you see it all the time because you up and down all over the place. So you would see it all the time. You would see the old person running to catch the bus and the bus driver driving off. And then you'd see the person stopping and dropping people all over the place and getting cussed. You will see the two vans racing one another down, and then you'll see two of them driving at 3 kilometers an hour and holding up a whole long line of traffic. The same people who were racing one another 5 minutes ago. So you look at it and say it's unfair. And when people say all them ZR drivers or all them minibus drivers, then people call and say, you must say some. Don't say all, say some. We taint each other all the time, sir, with the things we say and the things we do. So I take your point. You win that one too. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sorry about that. Yes, sir.
No worries, Dennis. Have a blessed morning.
Thank you, too.
Afternoon. Debbie, from time to time, some of your callers do call in and state things that people have. Like the last caller, for example, and to some extent, one a guy who was used to be a moderator that calls pretty early in the morning and have a great time on the station with his challenges or his thought about people calling him to tell him things. I wonder from time to time, and they blame governments and they blame the incumbents, and I wonder if they ever take time out first to find out from the powers that be, the persons who provided those jobs, or the persons who provided the things that they're complaining about. If they only work on the complaints from the persons, or they have gone in to determine what are the terms of conditions surrounding the employment of those persons, like the beautification people, are there terms of employment in terms of when they got the job, in terms of when they got dismissed, in terms of what kind of payments they got, and were those payments in meeting with the terms and conditions of the job.
Which is why I told the gentleman that I remember in the discussions when people made comments on the radio who were part of Beautify Barbados, one of the things they pointed out were that they expected to get, let's say, 20 weeks, and it was reduced to 10 weeks. And again, from the discussions, they did not, well, there were various reasons why these changes were made. Some said they were told this, but when they got the letters, it said that. So you're correct. There were questions raised about the terms and conditions of some of those contracts and how they were executed in the first place. Which is why I made the comment. Which is why I made the comment about us sometimes not being quite honest with how we say things. Yeah.
Right. I agree. You too. And the other one here that somebody called, somebody said, well, I want you to call in the radio program and tell them about this problem that I've got. Rather than, and sometimes they come across, for example, I heard one about national insurance, people not receiving their national insurance checks for their pensions or what is national pension. And there are several people who say, oh, I received mine on time. But the point I'm making is, did those people who ask those questions ever call national insurance to find out?
If
I might call you and tell you, man, I don't know you like to talk a lot, not necessarily you, Dennis, but no, people that like to call into the program, my, I get my national insurance check yet, I don't understand what's happening. You call in there before investigating and saying, investigate it from the source, what the challenges are or what the problem is, or if there's a problem at all. Because sometimes people do things, to use this good Barbadian word, maliciously.
Sir, I want to tell you this, right, as the theme comes up for the news. Let me tell you this quickly, right? David got a call about somebody who had their medication caught up in the port on Asakuda. And when the call was made to the number, the person said, oh, it's not me. I called in on behalf of somebody. And it's not really medication. It's something else they were waiting for since October. And no, I want anybody get involved. And backed out like a full ZR from the stand, okay? So I know they got malicious things over there too. We see the proof on this side of the fence. This is the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net 266-IVOB. Those are the questions the numbers to call when you want to comment. Questions for the RBPF, the Blackrock Police Station has been refurbished. Why hasn't that branch been moved back to the refurbished facility? We're in the year 2020. Why there is no facility at the RBPF to upload video footage of possible crime or actual crime that's been recorded via security cameras? Can't answer those two, so hopefully somebody can and will. The message says, again, both checks and direct deposits seemingly affected by that problem with the NIS. I want to make a comment about children. Listen to some of the comments during the news and the issue highlighted in the newspaper, an issue that has been raised before about the questions of schools being closed for lack of water, discolored water, environmental issues. I can add sports to it too. Because the first day of sports, John, or the second day we went to sports, and there was an issue with rain and the children had no place to shelter at the National Stadium, the primary school children. These are our children, supposedly our future. The people we are grooming to take over from us when we go to the rocking chair and the great beyond. Now, I know there's a young lady called Julie, has Julie's party rentals, and she gives back and advertises with us from time to time, and she has tents. I know when we have big cocktail receptions and various other things, I see huge tents, some with air conditioning, some with fans, some, covering half a parking lot and more. If we have sports at the National Stadium and it's uncovered, is it beyond the organizers to talk to those who have tents, who will enter into some kind of arrangement, perhaps part payment, part advertising, part giving back, part whatever, to at least cover our children should there be inclement weather or we need to get them out of the son, for whatever reason, medical or other conditions, you know, somebody may collapse in the heat. You may have ambulances on standby, but is it impossible to provide a little shade for our children beyond our capabilities? The issue of our schools and lack of water. And I notice finally parents are saying it disrupts their day to have to stop. And I was kind of smirking to myself when somebody said, we have to stay home with our children and miss work. I recall many years ago, 30 plus years ago, when my daughter had to stay home for a midterm and I couldn't find anyone to stay with her and I had to stay home from work. I was severely reprimanded for it. I was told, send her by a grandmother, put her in a boarding school. What is I trying to do? I recall those days fondly, very fondly, because it means that 30-something plus years later, we still haven't wrapped our minds around the responsibility of parenting. And that disruptive calls to pick up your child or ward because they got a grass fire, or somebody let loose a pet snake, or somebody water brung, or whatever the reason, come and pick up your child, means that somebody's life is disrupted. And the person whose life is disrupted is a parent who is trying to earn a living to care for the same child. Which leads me to my, how are we going to fix it? Because we could talk and say the education system needs to do this and those in authority need to do that. Or, as my first caller this morning pointed out, that teachers who are parents will look after their own. But a parent who is a parent is not going to look after the teaching aspect of things. That's for a teacher. If we are to fix the challenges we face, it's going to take more than the Prime Minister talking. It's going to take more than a press conference. It's going to take more than a gathering. It's going to take more than FETs in the field and well-known artists singing jingles on the radio. It's going to take more than that. Whoever came up with the idea and the strategy that the only way you could reach the public is to put it in a song or a dub chant and put it on the radio and people are going to follow, perpetuating the same nonsense that they're riling against. That's the music that make them do wheelies and break down in the FET and shoot one another. You can't fix the problem by using the problem as a fixer. Can't. Something is wrong with the way we're tackling the issues we face. And the first thing that's wrong with it for me is that we don't identify what the problem is. We identify what we want to fix and claim that that's how to fix it. And then when it ain't fixed, we'll say, well, we got to find some other way of fixing it. If you identify the problem first, then you know what it is you're going to fix. I don't think we get there yet. But anyhow, Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Hi.
Greetings to you and greetings to our listeners.
To you too, sir.
Last week, Mr. Johnson, when I hear you speaking to Mr. Rashid, good afternoon, Rashid. You mentioned that you're looking forward also to going into the new world. And I would like to make just a few contributions on that. Because what you're saying is perfectly correct. There's going to be another life right here on the earth. Why many people do not like to talk about death, so to speak? Because they're of a fear. Because they do not know what they're going to. That's it. But in the new world, Mr. Johnson and listeners, when it said the end, it means the end of wickedness, sickness, immorality, discrimination, tornadoes, tsunami. That's what means the end. And it also means the ends of those who do not want to live under the rule of the Creator. But this is the whole challenge today. You see, they got something called a law, and also the law of conduct, where a person wants to do as they like. And you see what happened last week at the school. That is a total disregard of authority. They don't care about the police. They don't care about the government. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They are a law unto themselves.
So why do they care about each other and themselves and the boss man who giving them instructions?
They care about the boss man?
Of course they do. That's why they carry out his instructions, isn't it?
But no, you see, that's the point. That's the point also you're making there, because he then become their ruler.
Correct. Right. So this has always been my question.
Yeah.
Why would they submit to that type of rule and not any other? I've often asked people this question, right? Why it is people would say to their mother or their father, you can't tell me what to do as a big man. But they would let somebody else tell them what to do and follow them blindly. It is something that always makes me ask why. But anyway, I like asking too many things, I suppose.
You heard that word in the news, Mr. Johnson? Blindly?
Yeah, I know. I use it on purpose.
Right. This is where it started, you know. In the beginning, when the serpent told Eve, you will not die. You understand? And then he went on to tell her, you will be like God, knowing good and bad. So he was saying that Jehovah is withholding something from her. So she didn't know what mislead blindly to let him rule her. And it's the same pattern today. Because if you let Jehovah rule us, we ain't going to do them things. And that, you know, make the right point, because they are blinded. You know what I mean? Spiritually speaking. But the point I'm making, like, as you say, because I'm looking forward for that time, Mr. Johnson, in a new system. And they can be right here on the earth, because this earth wasn't created for us to live in it like this. The Bible said the earth was created to be inhabited. Not in this state. Because if I met the saints, I can't hear up on the air to tell 20,000 people that to behave themselves and live good to God if you know that it was greater to be like this. That would not make sense. As time goes by, he said, that's rocket science. You understand? No, we were created for Jehovah to be our ruler. So when he ruled us, then we will let the other man that you call the ruler and tell you, go and do something else. And that's exactly what we do. God tells our first pope to do one thing, and the other ruler tells us to do something else. And they follow the other ruler. And it leads to problems. The same pattern today.
Is it because they get instant gratification for following what they do? I read in the newspaper, too much reading though. I read in the newspaper during a trial of a gentleman that he said his job is to protect the boss man. That's his job. So if somebody disrespects the boss man, he extracts the revenge on behalf of the boss man. That's what the man said, allegedly, in his statement. Which means that there are some people whose directives they will follow and follow to the letter without being told to do it, because they see it as being what they are supposed to do.
And I'm glad you said that, brother. So it shows you that we were not created to lead ourselves. We are to be led, but led by you.
You're pushing me in the corner. No, because the reason why I'm chuckling, right?
The reason why I'm chuckling is because
we say there are always leaders among us. And there are people who, because they're charismatic, because they have the ability to draw people to them, are elevated to leadership status. Let me put it that way. And sometimes, in my not too humble estimation, I will admit I am a bit of a egghead. I don't believe they're ready for leadership. You know, there's a statement that some men are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. I think sometimes people are elevated to a position of leadership without being cognizant of what it takes to be a leader. And therefore, they see a leader as being someone who is a boss man who says, you know, your job is to protect me from those who snipe in at my heels and, you know, ensure that I'm the boss man so I'll give you a little something to keep you in good graces. And once they get in whatever you're giving them, they consider you the boss man until the next boss man comes along. So they are conditioned to follow whoever it is giving them a little something to keep them quiet, as opposed to trying to recognize the difference between true leadership and somebody who leading them astray. And when we're talking about educating our people, that's what goes back over and over in my mind, sir, that if we do not learn from a very early age how to distinguish between what we know and what we don't know, what we need to know and what we don't need to know, and how to distinguish between, well, you call it what you want to call it, good and bad, good and evil, right and wrong, all the things that we throw into the equation. If we don't know how to understand that, how to grasp the good from the bad, those to filter out things, then we're not educated, so we're just picking up things. Somebody sent me a message when I talked about going to Wikipedia and saying, oh, there are other places of reference. But if you don't know that, if you don't know that Wikipedia is not the only one, if you don't know how to filter out what you read, in other words, if you're not a Barbadian living in Barbados, who knows that Barbados is not this and that, you'd read it and assume that what you read is right. And you may not be right because you don't know how to distinguish what's the truth from what's not. Because that ain't what you were taught. You were taught to just accept whatever you're told. So I tell you, go and do this. So you go and do that. You come back and they give you this.
I'm going to finish off or conclude with this one, Mr. Johnson. Mm-hmm. I believe you must have planted something already. And many of you callers may have planted a seed. But if one thing that you don't have control over is how it grows.
That's
because
true.
You've got certain factors involved in there. Rain, sun, drought,
disease.
You understand?
Yeah. Or somebody who just passed with a stick and lick it down because they ain't no way there.
Exactly. So that's another point we're going to look at when our children are growing up. They have a mind of their own.
Correct.
But then you've got to nurture that plant.
Correct.
And look after it. I left you there, Mr. Johnson.
Correct. Leave me there, sir. I thank you very much. Brastex, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Brother Nasser, how are you, man?
Hi, good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. And you?
Hi, good, man. I just listened to you, that gentleman talking just now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I laughing all the time because, believe me, that gentleman, I believe he committed and love everything he's saying. But he got to know that what he's saying it, real. Nobody on this earth can control nothing on this earth unless they're committed to the development and principle of mankind. Nobody on this earth could serve God because God don't need nothing from nobody. God created us to serve each other and God give us everything we want. The problem in this world is that these people who generate wealth forget that wealth they generate is not to do with their intelligence, it's not to do with a gift from God. And they will not use that wealth to help others. They die, especially in Barbados. They die and left tons of money in the bank. And they before or four generations, if they come back here, they run over the money they left gone. The truth is, Mr. Johnson, that it's time enough that black successful people in this country, and what you want to talk about black successful, because this wants to give me trouble, must start to mobilize some of the resources and really look for the talented, intelligent children in this country or young people in this country who are trying to go forward and mobilize the resources to help them to go forward. This idea about God that you come up from the earth and then he nor me nor nobody don't know anything about that. And I tell some days, Mr. Johnson, not one man on this earth knows anything about God, but the Creator. I call the Creator. But you know, we give it all kind of names. We don't
same
know
way I may
God.
Call my father Dad, and you may call him Papa or something else.
Right, but there's a Creator. And all we must do, the reason why minority people in this country are so successful that they look out for each other, you know. The reason why black people are failing because they spend time grudging each other, you know, Mr. Johnson. All this thing about God and all kind, and yes, I know there's a creator. You know there's a creator. That gentleman, just on the radio, I know he's committed to be saying, no, there's a creator. But no word tell people what about serving God. You can serve God. You can do for God, Mr. Johnson.
Well, it depends on how you read the word. Because as far as I know, well, as far as I've been taught, I may have been taught incorrectly. I'm supposed to see God in my fellow man. I'm supposed to serve him through my service of my fellow man.
Well, that's the only
and
way to serve God.
And if I see him in my fellow man, then all the other things that fall into place, what we call the commandments, I will not trample on him. I will not grudge his wife. I will not grudge his ox on his ass. I will not, want to take away what he got and put it for myself or dispose of him. Brother Massa, one of the problems, right? And this is what I see as being one of the problems. If I value things, possessions, things, more than I value life.
You're foolish.
I will make some stupid decisions in my life.
Of course.
And if I value other people's lives less than I value my own, I can make some more stupid decisions.
Of course.
But unfortunately, and this is the misfortune, there are people who, because of either the circumstances of their birth, the circumstances of their upbringing, the people who disappointed them on their way up, or what they expected and didn't get, you use the term grudge, but yeah, they grudge and spite everybody else. There are people who say they want things. I want this, I want that, I want the other. I want to win the lottery. Yeah. When they ask them, what are you going to do with it? Well, I don't know yet. I can put it on the bank and I can decide what to do with it at some point. Okay.
That means they ain't planning nothing.
Well, here's my point. Suppose before you make the plan, you die. What happened to it?
You're right. That's the point. They ain't planning nothing.
In other words, so you have no reason for wanting it. Or if you have a reason, you haven't figured it out in your mind yet. And from time to time, when someone says, look, start preparing yourself for retirement. People ask you, why? You say, okay, go ahead. Someone sent a message on WhatsApp saying, oh, civil servants getting paid on time, so they don't care about pensioners. So when that civil servant who don't care about a pensioner becomes a pensioner, who can care about them?
Nobody, yeah. But I'm glad you said that, Mr. Johnson. That's the problem in this country. Mr. Johnson, let me explain a few days to you.
Why?
You know, I lent you a book called How Democracy Died.
Died, yes. And I read it from cover to cover. and the one about the religious...
Way to riches.
Yeah.
Right. No, Mr. Johnson, I am telling you, we have all these church leaders that don't call themselves apostles. Mm-hmm. You know, them pastors and anyone know they're apostles. The only apostle I know is a horse that used to run yards in. But all of a sudden, they're apostles.
I have met in my life,
Mr. Johnson, that 90% have never read that book yet, the 25 Basic Laws of Success. Mm-hmm. Biblical Laws of Success. Mm-hmm. That's not their interest. They will read how you're a tithe. I hope you put all the money in get them the money. And they would encourage a person who grow a lovely pumpkin. And they got some other pumpkins to give them the best pumpkin. And either produce the pumpkin, keep the worst. These are the things that got to stop. Young people in Barbados are the way they are because they have lost hope. Mr. Johnson, you're a young man one time. I was a young man one time too. But I know when I was going to school. Only at St. George Boys School, I went there to 6th start to 7th standard. I knew that when I left school, I am going to learn a trade and I'm going to make a big living because I saw people doing that. Where do you see anybody wrong today, Mr. Johnson? A fellow working at the garages, he locked away. So nobody don't see him. No little workshops and book the place no more. That fellas can say, let me go, boy. I like painting cars. You know, I like welding. I said, none of that don't exist no more, you know. So you have blocked the vision of the youth and expect them to see. You have blinded them. And let me tell you something, Mr. Johnson. This idea about government's change and you have to challenge government and you have to challenge prime minister and all that, that is foolishness that God stop here. Because you challenge me, Mr. Johnson, you mean that you don't like me? Because you boy can't challenge the Prime Minister, or who's a member of Parliament, they can't challenge a member of Parliament. With police armed, they'll be there with guns that are challenging them. So why can't challenge them too? And the police armed, you know, and they're in front of the police, mm-hmm. but they can fool me that they're friend for some boy in Parliament. What's the reason for that, Mr. Johnson? We have a problem in Barbados, and not only in Barbados, the whole Caribbean. Because I have not seen Jamaica change. It get worse, more army. Trinidad get worse, more army. Barbados getting bad, more army, more police. That is not the problem, Mr. Johnson. The problem in Barbados is simple. This is my humble thing. We have too many black people in this country with wealth that will not sit, don't have a discussion amongst themselves. Start putting something together, mobilizing together to try and do things to help people who are not as fortunate as them. That is the main problem in this country, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, it is a problem that is factored, well, affected by classism, what people call upward mobility. They want to move out of one classification to another, and they see the color of their skin as a hindrance, and that associating with people of the same color or class is not going to lift their status individually, not as a group, individually. We had an organization in Barbados called the Black Businessmen's Association, and people ask, why should there be one if there was no White Businessmen's Association, or no Asian Businessmen's Association, or no X or Y Businessmen's Association? So there are times when, even when you try to associate, people ask why, and so your numbers dwindle and people drop out. And sometimes what is said is not understood. For example, and thank you for your contribution as always, sir. Message, Mr. Johnson, sir, you just spent about 5 minutes on the issue of school closure. Actually, it was 2.5 by splitting hairs. As a result of environmental conditions, but I have not understood what your point was. Let me say to you that when issues develop at schools, the school administrator's first priority is to ensure that students are protected and safe from harm. Also consider that there are persons out there, including parents, who are very keen to hit the Ministry of Education, the Attorney General, with a lawsuit when students are kept at school and receive injuries, damages when fires, water issues, shootings, etc. occur at schools. Please consider this. Now, you obviously really didn't hear nothing I say for the 5 minutes that you listened. Because what I talked about was disrupting the lives of both the parents and the students. And that it is the disruption was what I was aiming at. Not the removal from the school. The disruption. That's what I was talking about. There must be a way found to ensure that the disrupting of the lives of our children, the people we invest our future in, is kept to a minimum. So if that means ensuring that the conditions around the school is kept in a manner that they're not called out every other Wednesday for cowich, or if a cowich problem develops, we deal with it in a rational, quick, and effective manner. How long it took to fix the one we had out in the area of the St. Patrick's? How many times they went in and out? How long it took Louis Lynch to get fixed? When you pick on my nits, right, make sure you understand which nit you're picking. Because one thing I know how to do is talk. And I know exactly what it is I say, and when I say it, and why. Communication means that what is said should be understood. That's why I talked about trying to take care of my daughter and being told, get somebody else to look after her. That's why I mentioned that. That's not an education problem. That's not an environment problem. My son went to Luther Thorne. He had asthma. He had asthma attack at school, and they called me. I said, get him to the nearest polyclinic. I will get there. That's making sure he's safe. I'm not querying that at all. That's exactly what the people at Flow who insist on calling me while I'm working in the middle of the day to tell me foolishness about getting upward and onward, don't call my phone. Because I'll tell you to take it back. When I want to call you, you don't answer me. So don't call me when I'm at work. Find out when to call me or don't call at all. Excuse my outburst. Here's the problem. We take too many decisions in this country without thinking about the ramifications or the repercussions about other people. We get notices in the newspaper saying the bank is closing early for a staff meeting. Business X or Y will not be opened on Monday because of so-and-so. Pensioners are complaining they do not have their checks to be changed today and they don't know why. Communication. Somebody somewhere did not do something. An environmental problem at school that develops because somebody is burning rubbish indiscriminately. It's the person who's burning the rubbish that has to stop doing it, or else the school will continue to be impacted. If we put a school in the middle of a place where there is cowage, and we don't clean the surroundings or ensure that those who own the land around the school understand the environmental conditions that have to be maintained around our school plant, we'll have a problem. How come the people in the U.S. Embassy don't get sent home because of smoke? Because they ensure that around the area is secured. That's why you can't just drive into the compound and sit down. But we allow certain things to happen. And then when I talk about it, I need to, you know, change my point of view. Real hard to get me to do that. Real hard. Because I just said it all the time. I hard-headed.